Hey, I'm Ashley Haywood of Embrew Tea. It's right here in St. Petersburg, Florida. I've created the first sweetened artisan tea bag. So the very first tea bag that has a little bit of a natural sweetener in there so that it can be the easiest, most delicious, high quality cup of tea you can get without the mess of an infuser. And it's really an invention, but not really. It's just something I wanted. The big tea companies weren't making it, and so I did. I will be defined by your dreams, committed to my goals, yeah. Gotta do my own thing, keep up the hustling.
Welcome to Hustleberg. Thank you for sharing your time with us as we chat with entrepreneurs here in St. Petersburg, Florida. We talk about how they got started, how they built their business, and how they serve our community. I'm Brett Bittner, and I'm the host of Hustleberg, and I started Beyond Your Side Hustle because I found that most entrepreneurs lack the time and expertise to build their own digital marketing strategy and still get results. As an entrepreneur here in St. Pete myself, I love meeting and talking with fellow small business owners about what they do and sharing that conversation with you. Now, you may have noticed a few changes with the podcast lately. One of the biggest is that we're now doing video. So if you're only listening to this episode, whether it's on your favorite podcast player, RadioStPete.com, or Sunshine 96.7 FM, please know that this episode and all future episodes are available for you to view on YouTube and BeyondYourSideHustle.com. Just visit BeyondYourSideHustle.com/YouTube to subscribe or to watch your favorite episode of Hustleberg. If you find anything of value in this episode, I encourage you to subscribe. And if you would, also rate and review the episode as well, because it sends us the right signals to know how the conversations add value for you. Finally, if you're interested in being a guest in an upcoming episode and you own a small business here in St. Pete, let us know by visiting beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcast guest. So Ashley, why are you creating and selling sweetened artisan tea bags? I don't think that's something I've ever even seen or heard of until I started looking into Embrew.
That's a great question. I've loved tea my whole life, and I wanted a little bit of sweetener already inside the tea bag because I just noticed that I was repeatedly doing the same thing over and over, and it just made sense to have something that was already a little bit sweet inside the tea bag. Because we all want things to be just a little bit easier, right? And okay, tea was a big part of my life. I wasn't very sophisticated in my tea. I literally just wanted some grocery store tea bag, cut it open and put a little bit of sugar in there so that I didn't have to do it, you know, to take a step out. But then once I realized that nobody else was making this thing after years and years and years of wanting it and getting more educated on tea and trying different types of teas, getting into loose leaf tea and understanding the quality differences and things like that. And then just the world of granulated sweeteners in general, how many different things there are out there. I just fell in love with mixing and blending and creating these amazing teas that are already balanced. And you don't have to worry about what type of sweetener do I use with a black tea? Or is this herbal blend going to taste right with maple? I did all the kind of taste testing and R&D myself so that I could create really great flavors that are just a little bit sweet, because there is a wide range of people and their tea preferences, and a whole lot of them like it just a little bit sweet. So my creation is really for those people who love tea. They use a little bit of honey, or they use a little bit of sweetener, or maybe they oversweeten just a little bit and they are trying to cut back. It's a really great way to kind of just have everything all in one.
Now, how is Embrew different from any other tea bag or loose leaf? Basically, what sets you apart? Obviously, being sweetened, you're the only one that's out there that's that way. But what about the way that you operate sets you apart from your average, I guess, tea producer?
So there's a lot of tea producers out there, and I don't want to say that I'm the only one that's putting sweetener inside, because there are a few companies out there that are doing it. One of them is using Splenda, which just really apologies to anyone who's a Splenda person, but no, it just is gross and it's bad for you. So there is a fairly large medium-sized company doing it with Splenda. And then I came across a couple of small little tinkerers, kind of like myself, using granulated honey in their blends. But what sets me apart really is the loose leaf tea aspect of it. So while it's in a tea bag, I'm still sourcing really high quality tea. So what you might not know is that there's a grading system for teas. And tea bag tea is like the lowest of the low.
Got it. Okay.
People say like it's actually swept up off the floor of the factory. That's typically what you'll find in like a Lipton or Bigelow tea bag. I do not source my tea that way, but I take a really high end loose leaf grade tea because I love high quality loose leaf tea, but I just don't like the hassle of setting up an infuser and cleaning up the leaves. And sometimes the leaves get in your tea and it's a pain to get them out, you know, and messing with sticky honey and all that stuff. So what sets me apart is, I guess, the fact that I'm a woman, female entrepreneur, that's a big one. I hand source, I shouldn't say hand source, but I personally source all of the ingredients. So I don't use any of these sourcing companies that create these blends. Most tea companies, they'll hire these tea blending and sourcing companies to create these flavors for them. And that seems like an easy way to go about it because they have access to all the different flavorings and things like that. But I don't like to overflavor my teas, meaning putting even natural or organic flavorings on the tea. Some of my teas have a little bit in them, but in general, I want the teas themselves to really stand out and shine. So I'm very careful about how I source, how I blend, and all of my packaging is going to be compostable, starting with this next round of product that I'm making. So I'm very excited about that. And it's really important to me to be environmentally and socially conscious in my business.
Now, what inspired you to do this? Was there a catalyst or an aha moment that you just like, you know what, I should just do this myself and I'll be able to figure it out. I'll be able to make it. And then I don't have to worry about finding somebody who already does.
Right. Yeah. There were a lot of years in between the time that I wanted it for myself and the time that I said, okay, I'm going to do this. And the catalyst was really, man, I've gotten to these points in my life where I have to make a change. Like I thrive on change. And I actually decided to start this business as a side business after my second kid. So there's a lot going on when you have kids and they're little. I was working full time. I had them, my husband, the whole family. It was chaos. And I just got sucked into that. And I felt like I was in like a tumble dryer and just getting, just life was coming at me. I heard somebody one time reference it being like you're stuck in a box with a murder hornet where you're just like, whack, whack, all the things that come at you, you know, you're just like trying to solve everything and plan everything. And I felt like my identity was stripped out and stripped away from me. And who I really was deep down inside was kind of like smashed and buried. And this idea of the sweetened tea bag, it never left me. And my husband had given me a book by Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love. She also wrote several other books. This particular book is called Big Magic. And it's about how the universe puts these ideas out there into the world and they specifically give them to people. And if you don't reach out and grab it and run with it and do something with it, that big magic goes and that idea goes to somebody else. So that's why there's so many inventors and things that have these ideas like that are brilliant. But then a few years later, they see somebody else has created it, brought it to market and been successful with it because they didn't take the big magic. They didn't run with it. And so that big magic was the sweetened tea bag for me. It was something that I felt like had to be a thing in the world. And it was my responsibility to bring it to everybody.
Now, who is the ideal drinker of the teas that Embrew has and puts out into this market?
So it's interesting because I launched my business in Florida in St. Petersburg, and the demographic here skews much older than other areas of the country. So I feel like I've kind of been tricked a little bit into thinking my demographic is a little bit older, but the ideal customer for me is somebody who is really busy. They love tea. They don't have a lot of time. And when they open up their cabinet to pick the tea that they want, they're going to pick the best, easiest one that they can. Okay. So they can brew it and move and go on with their life. So active and people who just want to get a lot out of life, but they also know how to sit back and have those special kind of Zen moments, because man, that first cup or that first sip of a hot cup of tea is an amazing experience that I know my customers like can't wait for. And I've just been so rewarded with the customers here that I've met face to face at events that obsess over my tea. And it's so rewarding to hear people just love it. And then they put their wallet against it. I mean, I have customers who've spent, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars with me on my tea over the years. And it's super humbling and exciting to know that they share the same affinity that I do, and they appreciate the product in that way.
Now, last fall, you nabbed the top spot at Greenhouse's Pitch Night. Tell us a little bit about what that experience was like. Just a few weeks ago, we had the ladies that manage the Greenhouse talking about all that they offer small business owners and entrepreneurs here in St. Pete. But you have a unique view, having been through Pitch Night. Tell us what that was like.
It all started with 1 million cups. So the 1 million cups program is nationwide. It's not unique to St. Pete, but the greenhouse, the St. Pete greenhouse, they have a 1 million cups chapter that's been online for a while now since COVID. And I applied for 1 million cups last summer and I presented. And then as soon as I became a presenter, I got an email that said I qualified for St. Pete Pitch Night if I wanted to apply. And of course I did.
Sure.
So I had to make a video to submit to the panel who made their selections of the top five finalists that would be pitching for Pitch Night. And I got selected, which was super exciting. And it was great because I was working on my pitch as a business in general. So this really gave me something to put on the calendar to have my pitch ready. And I worked with a speaking coach along the way, not specifically for Pitch Night, but leading up to the months where I was getting ready for it. And the people who are involved in the greenhouse had a really great support system through the process. And we had a few practices that were leading up to it with the other entrepreneurs and their pitches. So we got to practice and get feedback from each other, which is so helpful and really awesome that other entrepreneurs I found, especially in St. Pete, have a really great sense of community and willingness to help each other and transparency in their businesses and like really giving constructive feedback and kind of being a cheerleader for everybody. So that was awesome. And then Pitch Night itself, you know, there's so many emotions when you're trying to put yourself out there and hope people connect to your message and just asking for people to understand why you're so passionate about your business was great. I practiced probably 50 times over and over and over again, just to get used to what it would feel like if I stumble or if I need to recover. You only have 6 minutes in that pitch night competition. So 6 minutes is tight. You have to really decide How much storytelling? Yeah, exactly. How long do you spend on the numbers? What's the story? What's the hook? How do I get people to really feel drawn to me? And then there was a Q&A portion of the contest as well. So after the pitch, then the panel of judges got to answer or ask questions. So there was some impromptu answering, and I've been doing Toastmasters for a few years.
That's a fantastic resource for people who don't know.
Absolutely.
Don't have that experience speaking publicly. Toastmasters can give you so much valuable experience and kind of introduce you to how professional speakers operate and how they do what they do.
Right. And even for people who don't want to be a professional speaker, Toastmasters is a great way to kind of get the butterflies to be contained. I won't say that they're gone because they're never gone. Right. I actually love the butterflies. The butterflies to me means like, this is going to be really exciting and I can do really great things. But for some people, it's debilitating and they stumble and their mind goes blank, because I've been in that position too. It's like, you get thrown for a loop, or you say something that you feel is wrong or dumb, and then you can't recover and you don't know what to do. Toastmasters is a perfect environment to get in front of people and just word vomit, mess up, fall on your face, and then pick yourself up, put it back together, and keep practicing.
Absolutely. Now, what is one thing that you would like every member of the Hustleberg community to know about T that we probably didn't know?
The biggest thing I think is that T, when we're talking about the actual T, it all comes from the same plant, the Camellia sinensis plant. So black tea, white tea, green tea, oolong tea, all come from that same plant. The differences are how it's processed, which leaves are you being used, and that sort of thing. Of course, growing regions and the way that it's processed changes the taste and flavor and body of the tea and the growing conditions and things like that. But it was, my mom told me this years and years and years ago, and I just didn't believe her because I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right?
How could that be true? And then, of course, moms are usually right. And I had to eat my words later to say, you were right. It is all from the same plant. But then there's things like rooibos, and that's a totally different plant. All the herbal teas come from flowers and berries and fruits and things like that. So not true teas. But for any of the true tea, it's all coming from the same plant, which is.
Wow. I had no idea. See, I got to learn something new today.
Awesome. Glad to educate you. Cause yeah, it's something I haven't known always.
Now, I'm not somebody who likes to look at what people would describe as failure as such. I look at them as lessons that we are learning on our journey. So what is the most important lesson that you've learned so far in your journey with Embrew?
That is a good one. So my journey has been interesting in that it was a side hustle for a long time, for about 3.5 years. And I was just scared to leave my corporate job. So I put myself through the ringer trying to balance, you know, having kids, working full time, doing this on the weekends and nights. I'd say my biggest lesson learned, man, there are quite a few lessons to be learned that you could consider mistakes, but I mean, I've made printing errors where I just didn't check things thoroughly enough. And those are expensive errors. But I'd say the biggest learning for me is really trusting in myself and knowing that what the universe is pulling me towards is what I should follow. And all the other things will kind of fall into the wayside, and I will not fall flat on my face if I trust my intuition, my instincts, and what the path is that's drawing me and pulling me, rather than me thinking whatever is the safest, most, I don't know, a lot of people follow the money, right? And while I do believe in the business in a way that will be valuable and bring money in, it takes so much time and it takes so much work that I have to detach myself from money in order to clear all of that away and really do what I know needs to be done with this business. So that's where I'm at right now. And I wish I would have learned that lesson a few years ago.
Sure. Now, how is it that you're building your brand to make people aware of the unique offering that you have in the beverage space, which is admittedly very crowded?
It's very crowded. So my strategy the last couple of years, maybe year and a half since last year, has been to stop thinking huge and really right. focus on the area. So first I want to be as well known as I possibly can in the Tampa Bay area. So doing that by getting into restaurants and cafes and working on marketing specifically in the area so that when people who are tea drinkers are locally, the first thing that, like, I want to make sure that they recognize the Embrew brand. And so I went through a rebranding exercise with one of the local branding agencies here in St. Pete called Hype Group. And they just did a fantastic job with a rebrand. I worked at the digital agency to get it implemented on the website. Mm-hmm. So I can't tell you how many times since then people have said, oh, I think I've seen this before, or I know that I've heard that name before, or, you know, so it's really important to me that I get recognition locally. And then once I've kind of owned my home, then I will start to spread out exponentially from there. But if a opportunity comes along to get into a national retailer, of course, I'm not going to say no, as long as it makes sense for the business. But yeah, for right now, I'm focusing on as much close to home as I can.
Okay. Making the smallest viable audience a local audience and growing in those circles outward from there, that I completely understand.
Cool. Yeah.
Now, in your wildest dreams, where is it that you want to take what you're doing? Where do you want to take Embrew, and what are you doing to get there?
I'm working on all the different sales channels. So I haven't, some people ask me where I'm focusing the most. And last year I did a deep dive into what was the most profitable for me, whether it was getting wholesale accounts, selling directly online through my website or through marketplaces like Amazon. And to be honest, the margins are fairly similar across the board. Now, marketplaces are a challenge. So you really have to have a lot of volume there. But I didn't find what I thought I would, which was stay direct to consumer on my website and focus everything there, because that's the advice I was getting from other tea businesses that I'm like friends with, or other consumer packaged good products that said, stay away from wholesale. It'll eat you alive. Your margins will, you know, kill you. Distribution and commissions and all these things will get in the way of you really growing. But I wasn't finding that to be true as long as I was going after the right size retail customers. So my dream is that I become the next Honest Tea. So Honest Tea really carved out a niche for lightly sweetened, ready to drink tea. Right. And the market was primed for it and ready for it. And I feel like Embrew has that same position with tea bags, because people are getting more educated on the effects of caffeine and what that can do to your body. And yes, tea does have caffeine, but less than half or even a third of what coffee has. And some herbal teas are totally caffeine free. So that is appealing. And I think more people are, like you said, you hadn't heard of a sweetened tea bag before. So why is that? How can I get that education out there and that messaging to know for people? Because half the people say, wait a second, there isn't a sweetened tea bag. It seems like there would be.
You would think that Lipton would have figured that out a long time ago, or Louisiana, that they would have figured out how to make that happen. And I have a pretty good idea why, because, I mean, most of the people who use those are sweetening it themselves after the fact.
Totally.
I know growing up, that was what tea was like. You know, you dumped tons of sugar in after you had already brewed it while it was still hot, so that you could get it to stick around when it cooled down.
Right. Yeah. And I think Lipton does have a sweetened product for restaurants. So there is just refined white sugar in these giant gallon bags that they put in the big brewers in restaurants. But as far as individual cups of tea, there isn't anything out there like it. And I am carving out this niche, kind of waiting for everyone else to catch up. So when the big players decide, yes, a sweetened tea bag is going to work, and we can figure out how to create these things on the machines, which was a hurdle for me. So I can kind of understand why some of the big players haven't gone down that road. But when they do, and I'm expecting that they will, some people say, aren't you worried when somebody comes in and they take market share because they figured this out and they've got tons of money to put behind it. And it's like, no, I don't feel like they're going to steal market share from me. I feel like they're going to be able to pave this huge runway for people to know what to look for in a sweetened tea bag. And I'm going to be primed and ready as the artisan tea bag that has really great flavors, and people are going to find it because somebody else is educating everyone with their millions of dollars in marketing budget. So
now when you aren't working, what are some of your favorite things to do in and around town?
Florida is a tough place because I love being outside. And so I only get to do that about 6 months out of the year here. Okay. It's so hot, but I skateboard with my kids. We go to the beach for sunset only in the summertime. but we really like to travel out of state a lot.
Okay.
I'm from up north. I'm from Maryland. So we miss the hills. My husband and I miss the hills. My kids don't know anything about hills or snow or anything like that. But we like to get outside. We do camping. We like to play board games. I mean, anything that like keeps us laughing and having fun. That's really my MO.
Now, what are some of your favorite local businesses that you like to support, that you'd like to give a shout out to while you have the opportunity to really let others in our community know about the great work that they're doing serving St. Pete and the rest of Pinellas County?
Sure. So one of the artisan businesses that sat right next to me in our inaugural Localtopia event, and we were both making our very first sale at that event. I mean, they've done amazing things since 2017 when we both launched our businesses there. But Florida Pure Sea Salt is I mean, the concept is just amazing. So the woman, Maureen, or they call her Mo, she created this process where they take the actual waters from the local area and distill it down to get the salt out of it. And then they blend it with various things to give it really cool flavor, like habaneros or black garlic or things like that. And you'll find her stuff everywhere locally. And I just love what they do and how they do it. And they make sure that the water really is pure and the salt is pure and there are no impurities. So I mean, I just love following their business. Bohemian Reeves is another great one that I love. Wild Roots is a plant store on Central that Amanda created her business with her love of plants, and she's doing it on her own as a female. And I just have mad respect for these other women business owners that are collaborative and they love what they do and they're making their businesses work. And people can feel that when they buy from businesses like that, that they're actually supporting a local person, an individual in their business. And all that money is going right back into our ecosystem and infrastructure here. So, yeah.
So where can people find out more about Embrew and all of the things that you have, and how can they connect with you on social media?
Well, the website is embrew.com, embrew.com. I have a really great newsletter. It's kind of fun. It's not the sale type emails. I get a little personal. I get a little quirky. So you can sign up for my newsletter and get a percentage off your order. I'm starting to work on a project where I'm creating a resource for people who do want to step down from caffeine, their caffeine intake.
Okay.
So if they're heavy coffee drinkers, but they are thinking about switching to tea, pretty soon in the next couple of months, I'll have a resource for people to download to understand what caffeine is doing to their body and then give them a program of how to step down from their caffeine habit using my teas. So, from week to week, day to day, like how to step down so they don't have those painful headaches and things like that. So that will be on embrew.com soon. You can also follow me on Instagram at embrewtea, Facebook, the same embrewtea. And you can look me up on LinkedIn. Again, my name's Ashley Haywood. And it would be really nice if you just reached out. My, my email address is Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-Y, at embrew.com. I'd love to talk to you.
The good news is for anybody who wasn't able to write that down or is listening on RadioSaintPete.com or on the radio replay that happens the day after we publish, the show notes are available on your favorite podcast player. If you don't have a favorite podcast player and you found us some other way, you can go to BeyondYourSideHustle.com/embrew. That's going to be E-M-B-R-E-W. And you'll be able to find all the things that Ashley just talked about, where you can connect, where you can even sign up, where you can even connect with her on LinkedIn. It'll all be there. Ashley, thank you so much for joining me today. And I really appreciate you sharing something that I didn't even know existed.
Well, thanks, Brett. It's been great. I really enjoyed it. I love talking about my business and the tea, just because I think so many people need to know about it because it's awesome.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hey, you did it. You've just listened to Hustleberg. Hustleberg is produced by Beyond Your Side Hustle, where we help you craft an awesome strategy for your business and build a community that supports you today and in the future. We help budding entrepreneurs go beyond their side hustle and into the business they're dreaming of. If we provided you with something valuable with this podcast, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast player, especially you Apple Podcast listeners. This is something that only takes a few seconds that will help us shine the spotlight on all the great businesses St. Pete has to offer and grow our community. Speaking of great businesses here in St. Pete, if you're a small business owner here and you'd like to share the story of your business with the Hustleberg community, please let us know by visiting BeyondYourSideHustle.com/podcast guest. Did you know that at Beyond Your Side Hustle, we're helping small business owners reach ideal engagement on any social media platform with a free 3-week training by email? It's available for you at BeyondYourSideHustle.com/3 weeks. You can also find a link for it in the show notes. Start right now to learn how you can fix your feed to serve you, start engaging on social the right way, and create a community around you and your business. The opening music in this episode is Defining Your Dreams by my friend, Rhymer Educator. I encourage you to check him out on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you listen to great music. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to sharing with you how we do business in the Berg.